That was a treat to be able to be back. The you did notice how Jim said that I was young. The reality is, and this really is the reality, and those of you who are about where I'm at, isn't that how family talks? You never grow up, right? Or maybe it's true, maybe we don't ever grow up. But that's beside the point, because we are going to be talking about what it is being family together. I think it'll be a real encouraging time together. But today's message is a continuation of where what we talked about a few weeks ago. In that message, we watched this wonderful scene of how Don Pedro, the patriarch of the Aragon family, ushered Paul Sutton, a young World War II veteran, into his family. And he did it by connecting that young man to their family story. He told the young man, Paul, he told him about the Aragon story, how they moved to the United States, how they had a long history in Mexico, how they brought the root of the vine to start their vineyard, and all that was story he was kind of marinating the young man in. And then at one point he told him, because he was a part of the family, he told him, and this was one of my favorite parts of that whole movie that we saw a little part of, was you're an orphan no more. That their story was now a part of his story. He'd been drawn up and into their story. And the reality is that when we become a part of the family of God, when we give our hearts to Jesus, we too are drawn up and into a story that's much bigger than our own story. A story that a lot of the history we don't know, a lot of the faces we don't know, but we're still a part of that larger family. So I want to let you know right now what we're going to do today, because a little bit of it may be a little bit odd from what we're used to. But first we're going to discover and look at the vital part that we are in God's story of salvation. That those who came before us, the big guns, Moses, Abraham, that their story is not complete without us. Next thing we're going to do is we're going to do some remembering and celebrating. Because when we become a part of God's family, we don't just become a part of their story, the people in the Bible, the characters in the Bible. We become a part of a church family story. A part of that history we become drawn up and into as well. So we're going to do some things that I think will be fun for us to remember and celebrate those whose story we've been drawn up into. And then what we're going to do is we're going to end by focusing on the role that we have in God's current chapter of the story. So that's where we're going. Ready for the ride? Here we go. Okay, we're a vital part of God's story that's been going on from ancient days. What he began with Adam and what he did all through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, that story continues right now to us. And this is our chapter in that story. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 19. It says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. And here's the important part. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit. Built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, these guys. This is where our foundation was built and began. Old Testament, New Testament, all their stories. And when you think about it, how much, I don't know what the percentage would fall out, but it's hard to think of a lot of large parts of the Bible that aren't in the form of stories. Right? We think about Abraham and Moses. We learn things about how to live our lives, but it's through their stories. We see the examples of different people, but it's through their stories. Let's look in Hebrews 11. We're not going to read the first part of the book of that chapter, but it talks about these people like Enoch and Noah and Abraham, Joseph and Moses. Again, these legends in our faith. And then it talks about their faith and the impact that their faith has had in this family. And then beginning in verse 32, I do want us to begin reading there. It says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. I mean, the list is just too long to go into all of it, right? So he just has to skim along the surface. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. Who would that be? A little test here. They shut the mouths of lions. Who was that? Daniel. They quenched the flames of fire. Who was that? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Escaped death by the edge of the sword. That could have been any number of them. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. This is my favorite line, I think, from the entire Bible, is this one line here. They were too good for this world. They were too good for this world. The world wasn't worthy of them in other versions. Wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. This morning, I was looking on the internet at some pictures I was hoping to be able to pull up and show you, but many of them too graphic to show in this setting. Of those kinds of things, the last part of what we read, tortured and jeered, destitute, in prison, all of those things that are happening right now. Right now. If some of the images are so set, that we've seen it so much in the news, the people kneeling in their orange coveralls with people with their knives pulled out. Christians. Many of the photos I was just looking at this morning were faces of people from around the world that would not look like the faces of anyone in this room right now. That typically we wouldn't associate because we don't, we wouldn't see their faces in this room. But Orientals, Middle Eastern families, Pakistan, Egyptians, where churches are burned, families separated, children taken from their families because they won't confess to Allah, these kinds of things. Persecutions that are happening right now. Right now, believers, these things are happening too. Right now. While we're comfortable, and nothing to feel guilty about, I mean, it's God's blessing. While we're comfortable, dressed nice, have food to eat, air conditioning, a place to go, cars to dress in, so many that share our same story. Watch this. Those people, the people that he mentioned in Hebrews 11, he didn't even give them names, did he? And he just said, and others that experienced these things. Watch this. In our world today, there are others. You'll never know their names. You may never see their faces. But hosts of other believers like you and me, same relationship with God, same sonship, daughtership, all of that the same. And they're experiencing these same things. What they are experiencing today is a part of our story, just like what they experienced in Hebrews 11. He says, that is a part of your story. So when you become a Christian, when you become a follower of Jesus, you're drawn into this story. But you're also drawn into the story that flowed out of these pages and is alive and happening today. Their story is your story. They're not Pakistanis, Egyptians, others over there. They're your brothers and your sisters, loved by Jesus, with all the promises God has for them. And they look like what he described there in Hebrews 11. Watch this. Their story is not complete without our part in the story. Their story is not complete without those people's story that we just talked about. And the stories of those that are going to come after us. It's a big story. It's a large story. In Hebrews chapter 12, the very first verse, it follows just what we read. It says, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all these different people, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so you will not grow weary and lose heart. But he also calls us, consider these others, this cloud of witnesses, what they've experienced, their part in the story, for the same kinds of things, so that we can endure and not lose heart. What our brothers and sisters are experiencing right now in other places, consider what they're experiencing for the cause of Christ, to remain faithful to him, when that's all they have to cling to. Let me ask you some questions. This is not something that's said in the Bible, but this is just some wonder. We're just going to wonder for a minute. Not wonder, but wonder. Do you think Abraham recognized the importance of the specific episodes in this? When Abraham was going from place to place where he didn't know, do you think while he was marching, it was dusty, people were complaining, he was trying to get everybody, just come on, let's just go to the next place God told us to go and get there without all the grumbling. And are we there yet? All of that. And people were always saying that, right? So do you think he thought, you know what? Right now, 3,000 years from now, people are going to be reading about this, and it's going to be an encouragement. God's going to teach them cool things about living a life of faith with God because of what's happening to me right now. Do you think Abraham ever had that thought? Let's have a vote. How many of y'all think he had that thought? Okay, one, good. How many think, I don't think so? Okay, I'm sorry, but no, I don't think he did. Maybe he did, I don't think so. When Moses was just in curiosity, taking care of the sheep, looked up and saw something weird happening on the side of the mountain that he couldn't explain, and he decided to go up that hill. Do you think when he was walking up the side of that mountain, he was thinking, ooh, 3,000 years from now, this is going to be big time stuff. People are going to turn and talk about this for hundreds and thousands of years. Do you think he had that thought? No. Did it happen? Yes. He was too close to the story. He was too involved in the individual pages of the story to see the importance of his part in the story, didn't he? And again, we're just wondering right now, right? I imagine that. Do you think Daniel, when he was saying, look, can we kind of change this meal plan a little bit? And can we substitute some of this? You know, I'd like to substitute lentils for the fries, please. You know, this kind of thing. Do you think, he thought, you know, thousands of years from now, people are going to look at this and learn something about God through what's happening right now? I doubt it. Do you think three cocky Jews that were being threatened with death and facing being burned alive were thinking at that moment, when they were being marched towards that fiery furnace, do you think they were thinking, man, I'm going to be a big-time story in 3,000 years. They're going to talk about us. They're going to sing about us. They'll have flannel graphs of us. Do you think they were thinking that? I don't think so. But do we? Yeah. They were so in the story, they couldn't see the importance of their part of the story. And we just go on. Esther, barging into the presence of the king, figuring she's probably going to die. When she pushed open those doors, she probably didn't think we'd be making movies about her and telling stories about her and being encouraged about her. Probably didn't think that. And we go on. Ruth, picking up leftovers in a field, wouldn't have thought so. Boaz, an older guy. Ruth, you know, she's pretty hot. You know, their romance, probably didn't think their romance was going to be anything big. David being anointed king, his father certainly didn't think that was anything big. He said, what, David? I got one other son, but he didn't think it was anything big. Noah, during the however many years it took him to build the ark, and people are ridiculing him. You know, we go through the stories. Noah, but we don't know the boy's name, but when he gave his little sack lunch of loaves and fish, do you think he was going to be the main, he would be talked about every year to children growing up in the church? No. Nighttime religious by half-scared Nicodemus to talk to Jesus. Do you think he thought that out of that conversation there in the dark with Jesus, one of the verses, John 3:16, the context of that, the part of that conversation would be the one part of the conversation from the whole Bible that most believers 3,000 years ago, if we could quote anything, it would be part of that conversation. Do you think he thought that? No. And again, over and over, the young woman washing Jesus' feet probably didn't think it. Simon of Cyrene, when he was forced to carry Jesus' cross, he probably didn't think that was a great thing happening at the moment. But now we look back and think, what an honor What an honor. See, they were all defined by moments unrecognized by themselves. All of them. All of them. Moments that turned out to be major moments in God's bigger story that the individuals would have never guessed. You know, seldom do you have an angel appearing with a big poster and big bold print on it saying, "This is your moment." You know, before a decision's about to be made. Do good. We don't get that. The moments come and they pass, and we probably never even see them in our lifetimes. But they're there. They were there for these people here. They're there for those people who are suffering, our brothers and sisters right now. Those that had their heads cut off, bent down in orange jumpsuits. They had their moment that they didn't think was a historic moment. But I wonder if this book was being written right now, if they wouldn't have a chapter in that book. I wonder. Just wondering. Don't know. But this story is not the only story we're a part of when we join our lives to Jesus, when we join our lives to a church. There is, as a part of South Avenue Baptist Church, you have a family story that you've been brought up and into as well. You have ancestors. What is it? My mom told me a story. This is a story on mom. The family story. We're going to share some family stories here. When mom was little, Beverly Carroll, that's her right here. The beautiful lady sitting right over here next to the other younger beautiful lady. It's my daughter. But anyway, just look up this way. Anyway, when she was younger, she had two brothers that were about her age. To me, they were Uncle Junior and Uncle Sonny. She told me how they would always mess with her, shooting her with rubber bands, and how Uncle Junior would tell her something like this: "You have ancestors." You know, like it's cooties or head lice or something. "You have ancestors." And she'd run to her mom and say, "Mom, he said I had ancestors." You know, that kind of thing. And that's family. But we all have ancestors. We have ancestors in the faith here, but we have ancestors in the faith here. People that have gone before us to provide what we have right now that are no longer with us. They are our ancestors as well. You know, a family story is a powerful thing. But often in the life of a church, when we come into a church, a lot of times we come in and it's like the story that we're a part of started right at the moment we walked in the door. We don't know anything of that other story. But there's usually a rich, rich story that they've stepped into. They just don't know it. They don't know the names, like Paul Sutton with the Aragons. He stepped in the family, but he didn't know the rich story he was becoming a part of. When you come into the life of South Avenue Baptist Church, you come in and there's a rich story. If I was to, I'll name a couple of names. Harold Williams. Okay, some of y'all go, and you laugh because he sat right in the back. He was cantankerous. He was belligerent. He was beloved. He was wonderful, terrible, scary, all at the same time. When you were my age, I lived behind Harold Williams. He felt just as free to discipline me as my parents did, and probably did about half as much as they did, and they got plenty of time to do that. But so some of you, I mentioned the name Harold Williams, and you just go, ah. But some of you, I mentioned Harold Williams, and you laugh, and stories just start racing in your mind. Isn't that right? How many of y'all, when I say Harold Williams, man, you're there. How many of y'all, when I say Harold Williams, you go, ah. Yeah. Harold Williams is a part of your story. You just don't know him. You haven't met him yet. On Dad's side of the family, every year we'd go on family fishing trips. He made these family fishing trips. How many years was it? 40, 50-something in a row without missing? And around those trips, what we'd do is we'd gather together the men and the family around a campfire. And usually what would happen is among profanity and beer drinking of others, it's East Texas, and a big log fire, maybe 5 feet long, sitting around the fire in the lawn chairs, just listening to stories. Stories of the legendary figures in my family. People that I did not know that they looked back on with reverence and had dear reflections and memories of and laughed and told the stories and stories and stories and stories. But you know what? That was rich to me. I was marinated in the stories of that family. Now, when I think of myself, I don't just think of myself from July 8th, 1961, when my life started here, I think of them that I'm connected to. On mom's side of the family, a lot of Texas history kind of related stuff. But one fun thing is her father was one of the first ones in Texas building airplanes. How many of them? Six, seven, eight, something? I don't know, something like that. They look like, you know, they look like paper airplanes with people sitting in. It was scary. But they made some of the first airplanes in Texas. And she's got pictures of them in the hall leading down to the bathroom. It's a very honorary place. And so when I go there and I look at those pictures, I look at that, and I never met my grandfather. I never heard his voice. I never saw him. I was never touched by him or touched him. All I know of him is through the stories and those pictures. But when I think about things in my life and what lies ahead and the challenges I face, part of the time I think about him and I think, you know what? I come from stock that does stuff like this. This is a part of my story. I'm challenged by people I never met, but because I've been drawn up into their story. We have a family crest on the wall on the other side as you go to the bathroom. And it says, "In firm in faith and in war." That's kind of the motto on it. And I can't tell you how many times, just growing up, and even as a man, it runs through, I'll face something and think about something. And in my mind, I think, you know what? But in my family, we're firm in faith and war. Okay, because we've been brought, I was drawn up and into that story. Okay? It's the same here at church. Our identity, our expectations, our sense of belonging. If you come here and when you talk to other people about the people in church, and if you say they and them, you've not been drawn up and into the story yet. But when you talk about the church and you talk about we and us, you've been brought, to some degree, you've entered into that story yourself. So it's not a matter of membership on a piece of paper. It's not a matter of walking in front of an aisle and saying, I commit to be here. It's not a matter of writing checks. Our connection is in the stories that we've been drawn up and into and a part of. I want to share a couple of the people, or just some people that some of you may not know, that for me, in the life of this church, were important characters. And this is not an exhaustive list, okay? I'm trying to pick a number of them that are not here or have died, just so nobody will feel left out, okay? Because many of you in this room would go on this list. I'm waiting for you to die first, then you'll go on this list, so. Just saying. Okay, these are alive, but they're not here. Dan and Carolyn Lamb. And as I mention these people, if you have memories that are there, they're stirred, raise your hand, just so people will see. Dan and Carolyn Lamb, when I was younger, raised in the church, their daughters, especially a girl named Dana. Her name was Dana. But she was friends with my sister and all this kind of thing. Now Dana, raised up in the church, when she got married, she went to Africa as a missionary. While in Africa, Dana's husband got very sick. And I think she was like trying to drive like 500 miles to try to drive him in Africa to get help. He dies. She comes back. She gets married again. Do you know where she is now? She's a missionary in Africa. Watch that. That flows out of this story. It flows out of your story. If you're a part of this church, her story is your story. Hubert Martin, a real good friend of mine, Todd Chapman, he was here for a while, and Todd would just tell me over and over Hubert Martin Hans. Okay, there we go. And he would tell me over and over about how he just enjoyed Hubert Martin so much, whether it was playing dominoes or how, and his smile, he'd always talk about his smile and his laugh, just how he felt as a young man, welcomed and apart and desired because of that, of what Hubert Martin did for him. Todd Chapman may not have been connected with all of you, but he was connected with Hubert Martin in a way that drew him up and into the life of this church. So when he thinks of South Avenue Baptist Church, he has very good thoughts, because your story is his story. Hubert and Shirley again. They have a granddaughter, Ashley. I think she's on y'all's prayer list. You know, when we talked earlier about people being persecuted around the world, one of the places where that's very intense is in Pakistan. Josh, the church that I'm at right now, they met at that church. And young couple, and they got married, and they became missionaries in Pakistan. If I was going to be a missionary somewhere, I would not want to be in Pakistan. Okay, but they had a heart to follow God wherever he called, and they heard him call Pakistan. So they pulled up their little young family, trained, went to one of the most severely anti-Christian places on the planet and began loving those people to be able to share Christ with them. Their story is your story. That's a part of your story as being a part of this church. And I'm going on. I want to mention one more anyway. Chris Parrish. Let's see those hands. Okay. I couldn't pick Chris. I'm sure I know Chris Parrish by face, but I couldn't pick her out if she was sitting in this room. I couldn't identify her. But Mom was telling me about Chris. So she was sharing a story this week about her. She said she was so impressed by her faith, her heart. She was such a dear, sweet person. And she said, this was Mom talking. She said, I don't know anyone that I've ever met that's had more personal tragedies to deal with in their life and never heard her say, why me? That dealt with it with grace, with dignity, with faith, and with a good spirit. But that's not enough. So here's the story. When her daughter was in her late teens, she drowned. Another daughter died from disease. Her son was a taxi driver in Austin and was murdered, found in the trunk of the car. Her husband died. Her two-year-old grandson died. Another daughter died from cancer. Then that daughter's husband died. And what Mom says, her whole immediate family, everyone that she would love most in this world, taken from her. Many very tragic, sad circumstances taken from her. And heartache after heartache, yet she's been an inspiration and an encouragement. How many of y'all have been encouraged and inspired by her? Her story, your story. Watch. As a church, we all have a rich story we're a part of here. But as a church, think about the rich story that you're a part of. And we're just skimming. This isn't even scratching the surface. Several children from South Avenue in ministry in different places. And you have many in the life of this church who are very dear to you that in recent months and years have passed on to be with God. Isn't that right? How many of y'all have people very dear to you that in recent months and years have gone on to be with God? Yeah. See, their story, they entered, they lived in the story, and their time in the story here in this place, they left. But the story still what? Continues. And the story is richer and better and more alive because they were a part of that story. Is that not right? Sure it is. You know, I told you about one name that stood large for me, and that was Harold Williams. I was one of the troublesome kids in Royal Ambassadors. They could have come up with more accurate names for who we were and what we did. But anyway, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this card. What I put on it was, you know, God, thank you for Harold Williams and the influence he was in my life. Just one name. What I'm going to do, I'm going to bring that up here. And I'm going to put it on one of these easels that I hope doesn't fall into the piano. I'm going to move it. Is that far enough? Sure? See, Jeanette's the one to tell me for sure. Okay. That's Harold Williams. Okay. I'm going to have more that I'm going to put on here. What I'm going to encourage you to do is in your bulletin, as you came in, did you find a blank card? Okay. If you're one of our ushers or just one of the young bucks in the church that would like to help out with something, I need some people that can pass out cards to people as they need them.
I'm pretty young.
You are. You and me. We're the young whippersnappers around here. Anyway, right here, they're right here. So what I'm going to encourage you to do, you have pencils in front of you. There are pens up here, pens that you write with, but also pens you poke with. So what I'm going to encourage you to do is for you to jot down, you may just jot down a name, and that may be all it takes, because when you write their name, you're honoring that person, saying, this person was important to me, and they're a part of the story here in this place that makes this place important. They're an important part of the story. So maybe all you write on there is their name. You may want to write something they did that was really special to you. You may want to fill up that card with names, or you may want to get several cards with different names on it. You do what you want to with it. If you're like, man, I want to invite you to come up when you're done with that, and you can come pin those up here, over here. If you're like, man, I'd love to do that, but I just can't get up and do that, you just raise your hand. And one of these gentlemen will pick up your card and put it up here for you, give you another if you need it, okay? So if you guys can help make sure that we have cards around, I'll help as well. Jeanette, where are you at? Can you play us something beautiful? Of course. We're going to take a few minutes for you to remember, for you to honor, for you to celebrate the people that have been important in this family, your ancestors in the faith here. what I'd like for you to do at this point is, because a lot of people don't have decades and decades of life in this church, okay? Now, this was a little bit of a stretch. What I'm going to ask for you to do now is a little bit more of a stretch, but this is all the stretching for the day. I'm going to ask Jeanette to play again for just a few minutes, not many, just 2 or 3 minutes. And what I'd like for you to do is just kind of move your bodies a little bit closer. You don't have to stay there, but just for a minute, just kind of draw kind of close to each other, especially if people are, you know, they're new, you know, they don't have a long history here. And what I'd like for you to do is, if you can, just mention verbally some of those names that are important to you. Or if there's one person, one thing that person did, it's like, you know, here's something about that person that really is a strong memory for me in this place. Is that too much of a stretch? Can we do that, or is that too weird? I know, it's borderline, isn't it? I know, would be for me too. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But here's what I would hope would happen. My hope is that it'll give us one more way, one more opportunity to honor those people, to be thankful to our Father, to let the other people who haven't been here forever know, you know what? We are a part of the same story. I know the name won't mean anything to you, but they're still a part of your story. And I'm so glad that you are here at this time to be a part of our story now, a part of this chapter. And you don't have to say those things. I don't expect you to say all that. But if you can, just even if it's just mentioning someone's name, or even if it's just saying, look, I'm glad you're a part of our story with us. I really am. If you're not comfortable with that, there's no pressure on you to do that. Yes?
I would like, there's so many in this church I would like to put up there, but I prefer Myrtle.
Myrtle, she's on my list.
I was thinking of her. She was the best. She was never a grandmother personally, but she was the best grandmother. And my poor daughter could have ever had my mother die. So. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Uh-huh. See? There's a Myrtle card going up for you. Okay. Again, I'm not gonna hold us over anything. I don't want to drag anything out, but I do want you to have an opportunity that we've done it in writing. Some of us got up and moved, but let's just verbally to some of the, I mean, you're not gonna know the people around you probably. So everybody's in the same weird place. Just say, here's who I am, I'm glad you're here.
Brother,
oh yeah. thank y'all for stretching. I know that's not the most comfortable thing in the world, but thank you for doing that. I think, I can't say for a fact, but I think God's pleased with that. I think, you know, we come here to learn, yeah. We come here to worship and all that. But, you know, we want to please God's heart, isn't it? Isn't that kind of the bottom line? And I think God's heart is pleased because we're not just celebrating what people have been in our lives, but what God has been through them as channels of his love and grace into our lives. And that's the real story. It's not, yeah, it's about them, but it's what God did in them and through them to us. That's how he does his thing in our lives. So thank you for doing that. The last part, our chapter in the story now. We do have ancestors, but one day people are going to look back and we're going to be we're going to be the ancestors. They're posting up on bulletins somewhere if they ever remember us at all. And it really doesn't matter if they do. That's remember those who've gone before. Our part of the story, there's... Mom always warns me about doing weird things in church. You know, don't use this illustration. Come on. Think about the people you're talking to. I'm sorry. One of my favorite stories is Lord of the Rings. And there's two, and if you've read the story, hopefully you really enjoyed it. But there's these two characters, and they're little inconsequential characters, small people. They're called hobbits. They're just small. It's a fantasy story, so don't get too weird on me on that. But they anyway. So there's this horrible menace that's been terrorizing the world from ancient times, and periodically the people rise up and do battle with him. He gets pushed down. The people rise up and do battle with him. He gets put down. And these two little characters are drawn up and into to play the key role in the story. The key role in the undoing of this ancient menace in the world. And one of them, as they're plodding along through all their adventures, and one of them, his name's Samwise Gamgee. He's kind of the secondary character. He's the servant but real good friend of the main character, whose name is Frodo Baggins. Okay, so Frodo is the main guy's name. Sam says to Frodo, he says, "Why to think of it?" And they were talking about the stories that they would always tell, their legends and all that. He said, "Why to think of it? We're in the same tale still. It's going on." And he said, "Don't the great tales never end or ever end?" And then Frodo says, "No, they never end as tales. But the people in them come and go when their part's ended. One part will end later or sooner." Or he said, "Our part will end later or sooner." It really could happen sooner. And it struck me as I was thinking about that, our part in this story is going to come to an end. It's a weird thought. We don't like to think about that. But, hello? But our part in that story is going to end. This story. A lot of the people on these boards, their part in the story as far as them being here has ended, right? And that's not a terrible, horrible thing. That's something to celebrate. It's kind of bittersweet, right? But what we have to realize is, look, our part's going to end later or sooner. And like we mentioned earlier, we have a lot of people that we love dearly in the life of this church, and their part in the story ended much sooner than we would have liked. Their part in the story ended sooner. Some of us in this room this coming year, our story may end. You know, some of the teenagers in this room this year, their story could end. It's not just a matter of age. But so it caused me to think, you know, we're drawn up into the story of our church, but so often, just like those characters that we talked about before, when you're in the chapter that is your story, a lot of times we don't recognize the importance of those unrecognizable moments in the story that we're in. The conversations that we have, the encouragements we give, the smiles like Mr. Vic Nair used to do at the door, the encouragements like we talked about with Hubert Martin and others. We don't realize how important those things are. Just like the characters in the Bible where we said, doubt they saw it, right? Well, I doubt we see it either. But this is our moment. So we need to stop and give thought, at least for a few moments, because we're gonna get wrapped up in life and we're gonna fall back into the story and be oblivious to it, not think about it for long. But for just a little window, let's think about our part in the story right now. All the talk right now is Trump and Hillary and what's going to happen with all that. That gets all the news. Back in the day of Jesus, all the talk was the emperor, what's going on in Rome, which bigwig is this and that happening to. But that wasn't really the news. The real news was happening in Bethlehem and Nazareth, right? But nobody saw it. Right now, people look to Washington and turn on the news and all that, but that's not where the real news is happening, is it? Not the news of this story. It's happening here. It's happening in your family, at work, at school. That's where the story that really matters is happening. It doesn't get the airtime. It will never get the media. And God could care less. That's not what it's about. But it's about recognizing, if we can recognize the huge part that we do play in the story right now. Your story with Christ may have just begun, or your story may be in its final chapter or paragraph. But sometimes the last pages of a story are the most exciting. Sometimes it's right at the very end is the climax of that story. It could be that the climax of your faith story comes right at the end of the last page of the last chapter of your story here. When I lived over on Peach Street, and there was a man that lived kind of catty corner from me, and he was dying from cancer. He'd been going through a lot of cancer, and the ache of his life, the thing that he was most concerned about was that he would die well. He would die in a way that brought honor to God, that drew his family and others towards him. He had an understanding of the story he was a part of, and his chapter and page in the story, and the value of those moments that he was living in that story. That's been a lesson for me from that gentleman. What I'd like to encourage you with, I want to speak. We've got like 2 or 3 minutes. I want to speak to grandparents, okay? Because I think sometimes when the hair is gray or the hair is gone, and we can't get up out of the chair without groaning, or we can't get up at all, our teeth come in, our teeth come out. You know, sometimes when we're at that place in life, I think sometimes we think, you know, my prime has passed. Back in my prime, we did this. Back in my prime, we'd had all these kids in vacation Bible school here. Back in my prime, we would go and do this, or missionary trips here and there. Back in my prime, I wonder if the prime time of your influence isn't right now. Maybe physically you could do things. Maybe actively you could do things. But I wonder if your prime climactic moment of your influence, and that's what makes a difference in people, the prime climactic moment of your influence isn't right now. Could the climax of your story be a one-on-one time where you get that grandchild or great-grandchild or great-great-grandchild off to the side and you just tell them that you love them, you believe in them, and you want them to shine brightly for Jesus? I wonder if that moment isn't when you as a parent take that child again, not in front of people, not a big thing, but when you're not yelling and screaming at each other or all that kind of stuff, when you're tucking them in bed, when you go into them and you kneel down by their bed and you just tell them, baby, your life's your own. But I so want you to be a part of me with the story. on the other side. Your words, if the climax of your story wouldn't be the blessing that you give that son who has screwed up everything in his life, who has failed his family, his children, everybody, in every way. And you take that screw-up son to the side, and you tell him, I'm proud of you. I always have been. You don't have anything to prove to me. I know you're going to make it. I know you're going to do good. My guess in this last chapter where your influence is the greatest, where those grandchildren will not listen to their parents, will not listen to the teachers and could care less what the law has to say or do to them. But they care about how you think of them. They care about what you say because you rise up, and many of you rise up in their lives with in a legendary stature, in a legendary kind of way that you can't see. And it's probably good that you don't, except for right now. I want you to see it right now. Some of you are like legends in your family. Like legends. It was that way with some of the, remember around the campfire at the lake, these older guys talking and telling their stories. They were like legends to me. Because I had a little bit of distance on them. I want to invite you to consider how you might. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. How you might do those things. Sometimes we think the important thing that happens for God happens inside these walls. Sometimes we think the people who really have the important ministry or the people that are on staff or the people that teach the class. Mm-mm. It's out there where you're at. Those families, those friends, those work associates. Who know you don't live up to your calling in Christ like you should, but you still love Jesus. Yeah, we're hypocrites in some ways, but I still love Jesus. And I still want you to be with me in heaven, even though I still screw up sometimes. Even though I may still have profanity, even though I may have a cooler of beer out in the back of the car, or like my uncles down on the fishing trip, I love them. Many of them were Christians. They had legendary status in my mind. But their language would not be at all acceptable in this place. But many of them, even like that, loved God very much. And you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be professional. You don't have to have any title, any training to be used by God in a legendary way in your family. That's enough for my message to the grandparents. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this church. For what you've done through the different lives here in this room to be an encouragement to me, an encouragement to each other. For the honor it has been to rub shoulders, to be encouraged, to be loved on by some wonderful saints of yours that are now gone, have passed out of the story. And I ask that you'll just help us not to feel any kind of pressure to go and do anything, nothing of that, but that you'll just help us to really delight in the story you've brought us to be a part of and listen to you about how you might want to use us in the chapter in which we're living right now. And God, if there's anyone here that's just kind of been on the outskirts, and they've kind of been looking at the story from the outside and aren't really in yet. And just to know that today is a great day to step into the story and begin that journey and discover their family. In Jesus' name we pray.